And so in some, you know, is it better to ask forgiveness or ask permission? That sort of truism that we hear all of the time. But what's the role of the lawyer in the context of trying to figure out those sorts of issues? When the client wants to push into new business territory at or beyond the edge of the law, how does that impact the role of the lawyer? Is it ever okay to help your client break the law? Because clearly that's what technically at least happened in some of these examples. And at what point can the kind of counseling you give as a lawyer in this context actually get you in trouble as a lawyer? Can you violate your ethical duties can you also violate your duties by helping your client failing to help your client to push the envelope? And what are the ethical considerations lurking in the background that can help ground the lawyer's good judgment and developed instincts? So in this area, you have a kind of a, when you dig into the sort of the legal ethics jurisprudence, there's a kind of a paucity of material directly on point, but a lot of helpful information. And you go back into the early materials, kind of in the back shelves of the law library, and you find that the deeper tradition is this view of the legal moralists, like this guy here, Gleason Archer, who talks about the idea that clients sometimes disclose to their lawyers an intent to do an illegal act. Not necessarily do they ask the lawyer to participate in the act or to take any active part, even remotely connected therewith, but they come for advice as to the probability of conflict with the authorities and the extent of their liabilities if caught. It's the lawyer's duty in all such cases to advise the client against the intended act. It is his further duty to absolutely refuse to give him any information on the desired point. A lawyer never loses but gains by severing his relations with a client who turns out to be a rascal. It's this sort of, you know, notion you sometimes come across in practice that the lawyer is agent of the state, that you have some sort of duty to kind of couch your client into the morally appropriate choice. And the school of legal moralists of, you know, the normative obligations you have as a licensed professional, right, versus sort of jurisprudential ethics. Legal moralists or purposivists, as they're called. But now the kind of the more prevailing view, as articulated by this professor, Stephen Pepper, who has two really excellent kind of law review papers, very practical law review papers on the subject, which are included in the reasonably detailed outline we put together for this, and articulating a kind of a more transactional role of the lawyer, the idea that, the lawyer's role is not so much agent of the state as, in the business law context at least, agent of capital. A kind of a legal realism that the lawyer's role is fundamentally amoral, acting as a mediator essentially to provide access to the law, that you're there to, you know, the clients cannot just look the law up. You need to be there to kind of help them access it, especially in a very complex legal and economic regime. Lots of reference to cost-benefit analysis and the kind of law and economics informed approach to practice. And this has really been the kind of prevailing view since the 80s of the lawyer's roles in these kinds of circumstances. But I would suggest we shouldn't take for granted how well that will hold up, especially in a sort of post-Panama Papers kind of world, one of shifting moral standards. So digging into the black letter law on this, there's a kind of continuum between the freedom to breach an immaterial contract on the one hand and the sort of quote-unquote freedom to murder if you can handle the price, right? And we know that there's a big difference from a legal perspective between those two things. This is Model Rule of Professional Conduct 1.2D, the basic rule that a lawyer should not counsel a client to engage or assist a client in conduct that the lawyer knows is criminal or fraudulent. That doesn't necessarily mean that things that are illegal but not criminal are okay. And when you dig into the comments, which are included in the materials on this, there's, you know, interesting material on things like the difference between providing the client with an analysis of the kind of legal pros and cons, the likely outcome of a given course of conduct, versus the means of committing a crime, circumstances where the conduct's already begun, and by even advising, you would be doing a kind of assisting to the client of something that's illegal, versus sort of advising at the outset. And circumstances when there may be mandatory withdrawal requirements, unique issues when the client's a fiduciary, and so on. When you dig into the cases, you find they most often get the lawyers into trouble when there's illegal activity by the client, and the things that and the advice of the lawyer or the role of the lawyer was kind of in the nature of almost like aiding and abetting. And they most often are involved financial transactional circumstances, like there's this Vega versus Jones Day case out of California that I cite in there, where the lawyer withheld a document that, had it been disclosed, would have killed the deal in a diligence context, right? A circumstance I think many of us have run into over the course of our careers, and that's a good example of where you're going to get into trouble.